So we're doing Mishlei. It's been a while. We're at the beginning of Perek Yud Bet, which is this whole section of basically individual, I call them apothegms. So, individual statements, proverbs that you analyze one at a time. They don't really come together to a single theme. So it's a general idea. It's all about wisdom and about ethics, acting correctly. So we're going to start with being a Mishlei Perek Bet. And it starts, Ohev Musar, Ohev Da'at. Someone who loves rebuke, Musar, being told what they're doing wrong, is someone who loves knowledge, wisdom. Sinei Tochot, but someone who hates being criticized, Be'er, is a boor, is an ignoramus. And same like that, between, we're equating Ohev Musar and Ohev Da'at. And Sonei Tochachot with a Be'er, obviously there's a parallelism there. There's one who loves Da'at is equivalent to the Be'er. The ignoramus and someone who hates being rebuked is parallel to someone who loves being rebuked, being criticized.
Danny, does Musser
Yeah.
always have to be negative?
Musar, as surely as it's used in Mishlei, is parallel to things like Tochacha.
Yeah.
It means discipline.
Rebuke.
It generally means that it's the criticism we're getting, or even more so, getting kind of negative consequences.
Because I forgot the guy from Italy. There was some guy who wrote a book about Musser in Italy. And I thought you could translate Musser as inspiration too.
You
Not
could, I mean.
just like
So
re
the modern term Musar, like the Musar movement, is
Yeah.
really all about improving oneself morally as a more general term. And it
Yeah.
can be very positive. Apparently, that was the Musar movement, Slobodka, was all about Gadlut HaAdam, that you're great and therefore you should do great things. But the way Soma uses it initially, almost always it's in this sense of being told, okay, you're doing this wrong, you need to do better. And clearly, that's the parallel here, right? It's between tochacha, it's being told, okay, criticism, you can improve yourself, which makes sense. Someone who's wise is going to want to know what they're doing wrong. The question then here is, which is the mashal, which is the nimshal, which is the one that I'm assuming you know about, and which is the what's the cause, what's the effect, what am I trying to learn here? So you could read it as an ohev musar. Someone, if you love musar, then you will be an ohev dat. The way around is that if you are an ohev dat, then you will become an ohev musar, which I think is more likely. If I consider myself an ohev dat, right? I love wisdom. I want to learn. I want to be a smart person. Everyone wants to be that way. Then I need to be an ohev musar. I have to be willing to listen to others who are trying to correct me. The only way to become an ohev dat. The opposite of that is meaning a be'er, which literally means an animal. I translate it as an ignoramus, but when you look at its use in the Torah, for instance, this is in Bamidbar, and B'nai Israel are complaining, Lama habetem et kol Hashem el bar hazeh? Why did you bring us, the whole community, into this wilderness? Lamut sham anachnu uve'irenu, that we're going to die, us and our cattle. And that's the connection to the Ohev Musar, because that the animals respond to their environment. Animals get stimulus response. They don't think about long-term consequences. That's not who you want to be. You want to be the Ohev Da'at, the human being who actually can think about what's going to happen. We say that in Tehillim Tzadik Bet, which is Mizmor Shiliyom HaShabbat. A person who is a bar, a boor, who is a brute, I guess by the way to translate an animal, doesn't understand, still living, so the fool will not understand it. When the wicked flourish, but they will be destroyed in the end. A bar doesn't get that, can't look at the big picture, can't look at the long term. So our pasuk specifically is talking about Musar, Tochacha, negative reinforcement, rebuke. And that with animals, you have to realize that you can't always punish. Animals won't learn anything from being punished. Because punishment hurts. The animal avoids the thing that you're doing at that moment, but also avoids the lesson entirely.
Danny, I don't know if that's true anymore.
What about animals?
That they don't learn. I mean, you teach a horse, how to get used to a bit and how to take commands, and it does learn because it doesn't want to be punished.
Yeah, but if you punish, and the way to treat an animal is to constantly reward them for doing what you want. If you punish, then they not only won't do the thing you're trying to get them not to do, but they're going to avoid the lesson, right? You hit your dog every time it goes in the house. It may not do that, but it's also going to avoid you. It's going to avoid everything associated with that. You can't, you can't say, okay, this is punishment for this one thing, not for everything else there. And if I want you to stop smoking, right, and I hit you over the head every time you smoke, you might stop. Well, you're in my presence, but you'll also stop going anywhere near me.
Yeah, but I'm just saying it's some stuff is positive reinforcement and some is negative reinforcement when it comes to some of that stuff.
But that animal won't does it can't figure out what the negative reinforcement is for. I mean, so everything associated with it, which includes the entire idea of the lessons and of being there. Human beings
Well, I'm
should
not
be able to
saying in
figure that
terms
out.
of reasoning, but I'm saying like if you're teaching a horse to get used to a saddle or something
Yeah.
like that, they do have negative and positive reinforcement.
Yeah, if you think if you whip the if you whip your horse every time it shies away, it's going to become more tame.
No, not that.
No.
Just when you're like putting it on, you might feed it a little sugar and you're putting the bridle on so that gains control of its head or whatever.
Yes, that's the sugar part. That's the good.
Yeah,
That's
but sometimes when you're doing, turning them right or left, you might give them a little negative reinforcement to stop it from running into the woods or something.
No, punishment definitely works in the immediate sense. It stops it there. It's not a good way to learn. It's not true for people too.
Right. I'm
It is
not
punishment.
saying you don't want to do it just like to be mean. You just do it, to guide the animal. But
I mean, I'm arguing that you're not going to learn that unless for most people and animals, you're not going to learn if it's negative because they're not going to want to learn at all. Unless you
I
can hold them
see. As
down, right?
far as
You got the
that.
animal, right? You got your horse there, and you got the reins on them. They can't go anywhere, so they're stuck with you.
Yeah.
But part of being human is being able to listen, to knowing, okay, I can learn from this pain, and I need to welcome the lesson. So we have the famous XKCD cartoon. You can see this.
I don't think I've seen this.
Full. Electrocuted, and then a normal person learns, I guess I shouldn't do that. Scientist says, I wonder if that happens every time. So that's how you know you're not a scientist, okay? You get the pain response. So that's good for science. But in moral lessons, we shouldn't be doing that. If something bad happens, we should stop and say, okay, let's realize this is not good. I don't want to do this again. I should learn it. That being a scientist is good, but for moral hazards, right? For lessons in life, you shouldn't be a moral person and hit the button and then say, don't do that afterwards. And don't be the scientist, figure out if it happens every time. Read the warning label, right? It says if you see that on the machine, don't touch it at all. That's what it means to be ohev. Okay, I realize this is, someone's telling me this is bad. Listen, that's what ohev musar is.
But that also is reinforcing that maybe the answer to the Russia, should not be hikashina, punch him in his teeth or whatever.
Hakechen, I mean, does it? It's not hakem mean hit. It means to set them on edge. But you're
No,
right.
but I'm just saying Rabbi Krauss one time gave a whole, I don't know if you were there when he was
I
here,
wasn't. No, I wasn't in
but
your.
he talked about, the Russia. And he basically said, the Russia feels excluded. He doesn't feel included. So his question indicates that he doesn't feel that. And his answer was, you should love him more and make him feel more included, not,
I do. So an important part of the Russia of the Seder is the fact he's still at the Seder.
Right.
Definitely want to have a Rebbe at the Seder there. That's for you. And that's true. And so you give him the answer that you give to Anna the Elisha. Still give him the answer about him. You really don't want to exclude him. So
Yeah.
that's right. You definitely learn more with positive. But someone saying the opposite is that to be an Ohev Dat, you're actually willing to accept the negative. And that's an important step. The fact is that most of us don't. We don't like being corrected and we'll avoid the entire lesson and not go anywhere near it. But to be an Ohev Dat in the sense that Mishlei is that we have to be willing to accept, okay, this is going to hurt. I know this hurt. I need to know this. So we continue. The second pasuk is Tov Yafik Ratzon Mehashem. Good draws out the will of God. Ish Mizimot Yarshia, the person of Mizimot, of plans, will do evil. Right? This Yafik, Yapik, is unusual in Hebrew. In Aramaic, it means to go out. The expression Pukhazi, go and see, or my nafkamina, what do we learn out of this? It doesn't come up in Isaiah from Yeshaya when it says, "V'tapek l're'ev, bring out to the hungry your soul, nefesh na'anat tashbiyah, and satisfy the suffering soul." That's to bring something out so that we do good and therefore brings out the favor of Hashem, Ratzon Hashem. That's a nice sentiment. I have to spell something here. But the parallel is interesting. It's not Tov Yapik Ratzon Mehashem that good brings out God's will and then evil brings out God's punishment. But the parallel is that an Ish Mizimot Yashia, a person with plans, will do badly. What does that mean? Because Mizima or Zomim is one of those words that in Tanakh usually are negative. I'm planning something bad. For instance, is the Edim Zomimim, witnesses who are plotting to bring false witness, and it says, "Basitam lo kasher zamam lasalachi." Will do to him what he planned to do to his brother. Will be atara mikarbecha, and he'll wipe out the evil from you. Or in Yeshaya, it talks about who zimot yatz lachavel aniyim. He's planning to make the poor suffer, to wound the poor. From Imre Sheker with lies of Evyon Mishpat, and to make the poor suffer in their judgment. Okay, it's Zimot Yatz, making plans to do evil. Similarly, actually this week's parsha, right? In Achrayim. Called a zima. Targum Onkelos is zimahi. A zima is an atzat chitin. It's planning to do sin. So Rashi, she is derech yotzachal achato, that you need to do, you have to need plan things out to sin. That's a zomem. So that's a bad thing. But in Mishlei, it's always positive, or often positive. The introduction to Mishlei, those first psukim, says that the part of the plan for a sefer Mishlei is latet lepetayim armah, to give the simple cleverness, lana'ar, and to give the na'ar, the youth, dat, knowledge, umizima, and the ability to do planning. We define as mindfulness, thinking about what you're doing. So it goes with dat. So the question is, what's wrong with it? Why is an ish umizimot, someone who plans, someone who thinks, someone who's mindful of what they're doing, is Yarshia, will do things badly? The problem is that not so much with having mizima, right? You should have that. You should be thinking, you should be mindful of what you're doing. But you can't be an ish mizimot who is defined by their planning. But I think that I can reason out everything. I can figure everything out. That's what the problem is.
So does Mizima have this idea of plotting as opposed to like planning to do better, or if you
So
have an
that's
issue
kind of my point, is
eating,
that throughout
you're
Tanakh,
planning
you generally have
ahead
a
to
sense of
eat
plotting
right things.
of the wrong thing, but
Planning versus plotting,
right. And that's all what you're planning to do, right? Both of those mean the same thing.
Right.
And so initially, it's more often positive. It can go either way.
Yeah.
So in Tanakh, it's almost always negative, but here it's clear it's somehow negative. But Mishlei, Mishlei says, "I want to give the nar, these headstrong youth. I want to give them mizima. I want to give them the ability to be, to plan, to think about things. But you can't be an ish mizima. You can't be all planning because you can't figure everything out. You're not that smart." And that's what the Mel makes that distinction with Zomem, right? It says, Mubarak, okay, we've explained, Shapal Zamam, that the verb Zamam, Mora al Machshavot Amukot, it's talking about having deep thoughts, Shamamik Machshavot, that you continue to think deeply, Echlo Si Ezadavar, in order to get some particular outcome, right? We call planning. And if it's in matters of Chachma, that's a good thing. Moral machshavot amukot, talking about planning things out to become wise. Bimba machshavah shechoshev neged chaverot, but you can also plan against people. That's plotting, as you said. Who the rov ra? That's generally bad. Amar machashev lahara hahu baal mizimot. And someone who's doing that is called a baal mizimot. And he's saying isha tov. Now, if you're trying to be good, lo yamik mizimot, you don't need to do that much planning. You can be a good person. That's a good thing. And by being good, yafik ratzon mit Hashem, then God will find favor with that. Shadel Hashem, you're going to try to get Hashem to do what Hashem wants. Right? As Moshe will say later, Malbim quotes, Golo Hashem Masecha, literally roll your acts toward God. Do everything to that for God's will, via konu machshavotecha, and God will set your thoughts straight. Shel yuchanei Hashem machshavotav hapashutim, that your simple thoughts. You don't have to do a lot of deep thinking. Tachlit and they'll accomplish what God wants, God's goal. Hu yamik mizimot for Yashia, and therefore you're not going to overthink, because you overthink, it will go badly. And if you're trying to plan everything out in the last detail, you're not relying on God's will. That will end up doing things. But you can't be a nar. You can't act without thinking, but you can't be an ish mizimot trying to think everything, trying to plan every detail out. You need to be someone Hashem, because human beings are just not that smart. You can't figure everything out, because and things will end up badly. You'll do rishut if you don't intend them. That human beings are not smart enough for consequentialism, right? This is, I'm going to have my SNBC ethics cartoon again. That ethic, one person is saying ethics should always be consequentialist, meaning I am going to do the act that leads to the greatest good for the greatest number in the future. We need to consider not just their actions, but their potential results. But the problem is you can't predict the future, especially in the very long term. You have no idea what the consequences of your actions are. So it doesn't work as ethics. You can't plan everything out. Pesach is telling us, don't be so smart, do the right thing, right? Think about what you know is right and rely on Ratzon Hashem. That's what you're left with. Because if it's all based on mizimos, all planning everything out, you'll end up with what we call Yashia. What we call the repugnant conclusion. You'll end up with far more worse outcomes. And so Shlomo continues, next pasuk, lo yikon adam b'rasha, that a human being will not be stable with evil, v'shoresh tzadikim bal yamut, but the root of a tzaddik will keep him from faltering, from falling. That being a tzaddik is stable. The Malbim has an interesting metaphor of this, okay? That there's a shoresh, let's say, is the root of the tzaddik. Harasha'im ein lahem shoresh. Russia has no root. Has nothing holding them in place. Yeshoresh ha'dem hu lamala makam tahara. That's the roots of a human being, the source of your spiritual, intellectual nourishment, is up above. Because a human being is like an inverted tree. Our roots are above, and the and it grows down from there. Starts out from our minds, Shoshalamala. Natuba that you plant, you should be planted in the intellectual, spiritual world. Shefa'o, and that's where you get the influence from there. But tzaddik davuk b'shoshalayon. So to be a tzaddik is to be attached to that, the higher world. Okay, now rasha shenikaret, but to be a rasha is to be cut off from those roots. So that such a rush is trying to stand on a base in the physical world, but in the body without the spiritual side. Like something's trying to balance on a base that's cut off, but who's not attached to it. But that base will slip, will fall as well. So we need to have our heads stuck in the clouds, which in English sounds like a bad thing. But he's saying that no, that's the image of that keeps us stable. And that Rishut Resha is unstable. And we'll have to look at that later on. The next Psukim, Dalet and Hey, go to the Eshet Chayil. Eshet Chayil Ateret Bala. A woman of valor is a crown of her husband. Sounds like a good thing. But a woman who embarrassed her husband is like someone who rots his bone. And then Machshavot Tzadikim Mishpat, the thoughts of the tzaddik are just. Tachbulot Rasha'im, the plans of the Rasha are deceitful. Which sounds like what we just said before, but this has this image here of the Eshet Chayil, which we said that in this book of Mishlei, the second part of Mishlei, has a specific meaning. It's a specific kind of metaphor. Malvim says that Isha Tava Shema Maseget Chen Al Yedei Maaseh, that a good woman, Shmuel loves talking about metaphors with women, brings praise because of her good deed, because of her good deeds. That's the Nimshal. Olufiha, that's the Mashal rather. Olufiha Mitzila, but the image here is Nefesh Yekara, talking about the soul, the sense of self. Who you are inside, that's the Isha. The Baal is kind of you, and then the Yesha is your sense of self. Tova v'chachma, Yesha hamalitzit, that is the metaphor of the Isha, the wife, in this part of the book. So the Eshet Chayil Ateret Bala, that a woman of valor is the crown of her husband, is a parallel to this Machshavot Tzadikim Mishpat. Your thoughts as a tzaddik will be just. Your inner mental processes need to be honest. As we said, ethics is hard. Human beings cannot figure out the right way to act. You don't know what the consequences are. And you can't figure out what all the rules are. So Mishlei wants us to develop our ethical intuition, moral judgment. Be a good person and you'll do good things. Okay, and the term for that is called virtue ethics, which I'm really realizing is what Mishlei is really pushing. The way it's put in the Stanford Encyclopedia of Philosophy is that virtue ethics is one of the three major approaches in normative ethics. Meaning, how do I figure out what's ethical intellectually? But our moral sense is just intuitive, but philosophically, I should be able to think about ethics. What's the right way to act? May initially be identified as the one that emphasizes the virtues or moral character, in contrast, the approach that emphasizes duties or rules. So deontological ethics means having rules and just sticking to the rules, or that emphasizes the consequences of actions. That's the consequentialist. They have to know what's going to happen. Suppose it's obvious that someone in need should be helped. That's ethical. I help other people. The utilitarian, which is a kind of consequentialism, will point to the fact that the consequence of doing so will maximize well-being. If I help someone else, that increases the good in the world. The deontologists will point to the fact that in doing so, the agent will be acting according to moral rule, such as do unto others as you would do unto yourself, etc. You have a rule to it, that's why you help people. Virtue ethicists will point to the fact that helping the person would be charitable or benevolent. That's what a good person would do, is helping them. And going back to my SNBC, that I don't get virtue ethics, not a theory of ethics, it's just a strategy. And have you considered the alternatives? The ontology says you should be moral by intuiting the coherent set of moral laws for the entire universe, which you can't do. Right? You don't know what all the laws are. Utilitarianism, or consequentialism, says you should constantly sum for maximal total happiness over the space of all possible actions for everyone. And you can't do that either. So what you're left with is virtue ethics says none of this stuff is possible. It's the only move remaining. You should try to be less, and I did wipe out the word that was used in the original cartoon, but you can insert something there appropriate. Okay? Don't be whatever's behind that red bar over there. That's the sum total of what only ethics that human beings can do. Be a good person. And that's the way the Malbim puts it. Tzaddik Kim. Gamba machshava pshuta. So to be a tzaddik is in your machshava pshuta, without all the planning and thinking, just your goal, simple thought. Shalahem, who mishpat, it's just. Shalchu b'derach mishpat v'tzedek. They will do their goal is to do things that are right and just. Lo yatum mimenu, not to veer from that. Rashim, but for Rasha, gamma tachbulot, to be Rasha is to think things carefully. Tachbulot are strategies, one thought after another, one on planning things out in detail. Who she asu, they will be deceitful, ramotet to fool others, lasoku, to oppress, to steal. Tachbulot. Therefore, for a tzaddik, you don't need this idea of tachbulot as strategy, not nearly as much. Your goal is to do the right thing. Try to be a good person. That's good. That doesn't require, it's a lot easier to be a good person than to be a Rasha if your goal is to be ethical. So being a Rasha means you want to not do justice and try to trick other people. By their deceit, so that's why they need strategies of lots of evil plans one to another. It's pretty easy to be nice to other people. You have to do a lot of work to actually be bad to them. That's at least the argument of Mishle here. And then my cartoon ends with a problem with virtue ethics, where I ask, how do you figure out what the virtues are? And for a virtue ethicist who's purely a philosopher, the answer is be quiet. Don't ask the question. We just assume it's obvious, right? That's what your moral sense is there. But that's the message of book one about Shema b'ni b'mushra v'yichval ticho Torah mecha, that we're assuming that those virtues are what comes out of the Torah itself. Keep the mitzvot, read the Naras, read the Agadot. That will develop your moral judgment. That will make you tzaddikim with this machshavot mishpat, that you have this sense of what it means to be a good person.
So basically, you have to treat every person, give every person the benefit of the doubt.
That's true. That's not immediately what it says. That is a true statement that comes out of the Torah. So that is one of the virtues that you should be learning.
Right, but I'm just
That other
saying,
people have.
in Pirkei Avot, doesn't it say, greet everybody with a smiling face
No,
or.
no, that's Shammai says, sever panim yafot, right?
Yeah.
Right. So the idea of this idea of virtue, it doesn't
What
let you
again?
figure out ethics from first principles. You still have to go and learn. You know, it's
Yeah.
like Hillel's comment about that. I thought, yeah, I want to learn. You want to learn Torah on regel echad. It's, you know, what's hateful to you, don't do others. After yach kamocha, and then go and learn Zilshna. Because you still have to get to that point where you have a sense of what is virtuous, what is not. But if you're sitting there trying to be a philosopher and figuring it out from first principles, this obviously is right, this is wrong, without dealing with actual people, you're going to fail. You're going to get things worse and worse. You're going to end up in this Russia. Wow. Sense. And we'll go a little further. And as we said before, the idea that society based on Russia is unstable. That's what we said. There's no roots there. And Mishlei continues in that theme that Divrei Rasha'im Arev Dam. The words of a Rasha are a trap of blood. Upi Yasharim Yasileim, at the mouth, the words of the right of the righteous, the Yashar, the straight, will save them. Afok Rasha'im Veinam. Rashim turn around and they no longer exist. Beit Tzadikim Yamod, but the house of the Tzadik will last. There's stability there. And I think the idea that Divrei Hashem Arev Dam, that what the Russia ends up in a trap of blood, is not because Russia wants to destroy everything, right? They want everything for themselves. But if everyone's out just for themselves, then we want to serve our own interests. That's what the Yetzer Hara is. It's not a bad thing, right? We need to serve our interests, but it leads to what we call a race to the bottom. Civilization ends up being destroyed, not because anyone wants it to be, but we all say, well, I can get ahead one step ahead by giving up a little bit of my humanity, a little bit of morality. And anyone who doesn't do that loses. So we end up with what they call the tragedy of the commons, right? Everyone steals just a tiny little bit, and then no one has anything. And this came up in a fascinating article by Scott Alexander, based on Allen Ginsberg's Howl. Ever read
Yeah,
that?
I read part of it.
Okay, Allen Ginsberg was a beat poet in the 1960s.
Yeah.
I saw the back lines of
Passed
My
away.
Generation Destroyed.
I'm gonna Google
Yeah, it's worth reading the whole thing. It's very long
him. Yeah.
and very negative. But he's talking about we're looking at it's the 1960s, looking at the, mostly at the capitalists here, but any civilizations. And this is the poem, right? It's one section of it. What sphinx of cement and aluminum bashed open their skulls and ate up their brains and imagination. Moloch, right? Don't this week's parasha. Don't offer your children to Moloch. Solitude, filth, ugliness. Where's my?
He died in 1997.
Did not know that. That was pretty recent.
He was born in 26. So he died fairly young. It was what, 71.
Filth, ugliness, ash cans and obtainable dollars, children screaming under the stairways, boys sobbing at armies, old men weeping in the parks. Moloch, Moloch, Moloch. Nightmare of Moloch, Moloch the loveless mental Moloch, Moloch the heavy judger of men, Moloch the incomprehensible prison, Moloch the crossbone soulless jailhouse and congress of sorrows, Moloch whose buildings are judgment, Moloch the vast stone of war, Moloch the stunned governments. Everything's part of this. Right? Moloch was a one of the gods of the Canaanites, you sacrificed your children to. And this is the way Alexander puts it. What's always impressed me about this poem is the conception of civilization as an individual entity. You can all see him with his fingers of armies and his skyscraper window eyes. Moloch has answered the question. It's C.S. Lewis's question, the hierarchy of philosophers. What does it? What makes things the way they are? Earth could be fair and all men glad and wise. Instead, we have prisons, smokestacks, and asylums. That's what he means by what sphinx of cement and aluminum breaks open their skulls and eats up their imagination. It's because we all try to do it just to get a little bit ahead by pushing everybody else down. The implicit question is, if everyone hates the current system, who perpetuates it? And Ginsberg answers Moloch. It's powerful not because it's correct, because nobody literally thinks there's an ancient Carthaginian demon, right? No Canaanite gods here causes everything. Because thinking of the system as an agent throws into relief the degree to which the system isn't an agent. There isn't some evil power there. So all of us doing our own little thing to get ahead, and that brings everything down. And the way he puts it, in some competition, optimizing for X, for whatever you're optimizing, money, power, living space, the opportunity arises to throw some other value under the bus for improved X. Those who take it prosper, those who don't take it die out. Eventually, everyone's relative status is about the same as before, because everyone's just giving up a little bit of their other values to get ahead, so you don't gain anything relative to anybody else. But everyone's absolute status is worse than before. We're all worse off. process continues until all the values that can be traded off have been. In other words, until human ingenuity has cannot possibly figure out a way to make things any worse. The question after everyone has after reading Ginsberg is, what is Moloch? My answer is Moloch exactly what the Hishpruk says it is. He is the child of God, the god of child sacrifice, the fiery furnace into which you toss your babies in exchange for victory in war. He always and everywhere offers the same deal. Throw what you love most into the flames, and I can grant you power. That's what Risha is. It's giving the power to the Yetzer Hara, which is not a as the Yetzer Hara is not a bad thing. It's a positive thing. The idea is I'm gonna do something that's good for me. Right? That's the vibration, right? That Hashem looks at the world and says, "V'hinei tov ma'od." Rish Rabbah says, "What does tov ma'od mean?" Every day Hashem looks at the world. It's tov. It's good. Last day he looks at the whole system. It's tov ma'od. It's very good. Rebbe says, "Zeh Yetzer Hara." That's the definition of tov ma'od. Yitzhara tov ma'od atamama. Is it really? Why the Yitzhara is called ra? Why are you calling it tov ma'od? Yitzhara, but if not for this Yitzhara, this urge for your self-interest, lo bana adam bayit, you would never build your own house. Lo nasa yishad, never get married. Lo holid, never have children. Lo nasa natan, you never get involved in business. We need that. But if you run your civilization on the Yitzhara, you leave this Moloch situation, where I'm just interested in me, and that leaves everyone as badly off as possible. We lose everything. As he puts it, the project of civilization is for man to graduate from the metaphorical savage, subject to the law of the jungle, to the civilized gardener, who, while theoretically still subject to the law of the jungle, right? But now we control the jungle. It's so dominant as to limit the usefulness of that model. We need values that will override the Yetzer Hara, and that's what he's saying here. What he's saying is that Pi Yeshurim Mitzalim, the Beit Tzadikim Yamod, to be a tzaddik will be stable. To have those values that we keep in mind that overrides our personal interests, and that will allow us to survive. Think I'm going to stop here. Next time.
So Danny, that's sort of like that altruism has to prevail in order for the world not to just burn up in a fiery ball or whatever.
Yes, altruism in the sense that I have to care about other people, but he's saying it's more that I need some absolute sense of what's right and wrong. That
Right.
that's the values that I'm
I'm
not
just
willing to
phrasing that
sacrifice.
as altruism, all those positive things about what we should do for others, you know.
Yes, I mean altruism is one of those, and you gotta be a little bit careful because you have to be, that's of course the problem with, the do unto others as you want to do to yourself is that not everybody else wants the same things you do. So being careful to do what others think is good for them as opposed to what you think is good for them. Possible to go too far with your altruism too. Right? If you come to my house and take away my donuts because they're not good for me, I'm going to be really annoyed. And that's not necessarily going to make a world a better place.
But they might be doing you a favor, Danny.
They might be, but they're not going to make the world a better place. Okay? It's very, be a little careful when you're doing good as well. I quoted C.S. Lewis about that truly evil people will at least rest, but the really good people will oppress you forever. But so, like most of these things, it's a dialectic. Both of them are true at the same time. Right? We need a Yetzer Tov, we need a Yetzer Hara. That makes us who we are. So, stop here, and I'll try to get the rest of this finished for next week. Have a good
Sounds
night.
good. Thanks, Danny.